you hear, you know, all these unpleasant things that you hear. So many people in the West, they don't like to hear about contemplating the body, yeah? I mean, they even have the idea, you know, I mean, why should we make the body disgusting? I mean, it is disgusting, I mean, I showed you before, I mean, we find it disgusting. It's not that we have to make it disgusting, we have to see. So why to make, you know, I mean, why should we make ourselves angry? I mean, looking at the things that we don't like. Yeah? I mean, we are constantly confronted with things that we don't like and that make us angry. Yeah? I mean, it's a good way how to learn how to deal with anger. Yeah? It's a good way how to learn how to deal with disgust if we can do it in a controlled way. Yeah? I mean, that's what science is all about, you know, do it in a controlled situation, you know, then we can learn. Yeah? I mean, if it just explodes, you know, I mean, we cannot learn anything, then we are devastated by it. Yeah? But if we can do it within an experiment where we see, you know, how it does it, yeah? For instance, controlled demolition or things like that, yeah? I mean, it comes down nicely, you know, if it just explodes, you know, it damages so many people. Yeah? And that's the same thing with our anger. Yeah? If it explodes, it damages so many people. If we can do it in a controlled situation, like in a body contemplation where the anger comes up very easily, then we can learn how to deal with it. Yeah? That's the whole idea about it. Yeah? We don't have to make something disgusting that is not disgusting. Yeah? We don't have to claim, you know, that something that is sukha is dukkha. No. We just have to see the things as they are, for what they are. Yeah? When we don't like the things that come out of our body, you know, I mean, nobody has to tell us that, yeah? We just don't like it. Yeah? We find it disgusting. Next time, you know, I mean, if you don't, still don't believe it, you know, look at the shit that comes up, yeah? You still like it? Yeah, I mean, so. Or the next time, you know, take a shower, you know, look at the hair, you know, that is in the drainage, yeah? Or the hair that falls in our food, yeah? Ugh. I mean, it's a piece of, yeah, whatever, it's a piece of thread. You don't like to eat thread. But we like to caress our hair, you know? Comb it, you know? Paint it, different color, yeah? And so on, and so on. So, now your questions. Yeah?
When Krishna started to fight back after we practice somebody,
yeah.
Particularly anger,
yeah.
How to approach or deal with it?
How to approach what?
How to deal with the anger before it goes up.
Because you see it coming, yeah? I mean, you stay, you know, I mean, you learned in samadhi. I mean, without samadhi, I mean, you don't even need to contemplate, yeah? Yeah? I mean, if you don't have enough, you know, if you don't have enough sati, I mean, don't start contemplating, you know, because, I mean, that is devastating. Yeah? If you have sati, you can see the anger coming up. So then focus solely on this anger, yeah? Don't think, yeah, about the anger. Don't memorize, yeah? Use your Buddha or use your Anapanasati and just look at the anger and feel it, yeah? You learn it, you know, when you do samadhi, you learn how to feel pain. Yeah? And that's the same way you feel anger. And then you will see instantly it resides. Yeah? It just comes up, you know, just like a wave. And if you don't feed it with thoughts or with memories, then it just resides. That's how you can learn how to deal with anger. All kinds of feeling need some fuel. Yeah? I mean, every kind of fire, and anger is a fire, greed is also a fire, needs fuel. Yeah? So we learn what the fuel of the fire is. Yeah? The fuel for anger is this disgust.
Yeah.
No matter if it's a disgust of our body or if it's a disgust with other people, how they behave.
Yeah.
Same thing. So we learn it, you know. I mean, we learn the moment we don't put any more fuel into the fire, it has to recede.
Yeah.
But we need sati. Yeah. So be warned: if you don't have enough sati, don't do this hardcore contemplation. Yeah. Because then you don't know how to deal with anger. And learn to deal with pain first. Yeah. I mean, sit for 2 hours and then, you know, contemplate pain. What is pain? I mean, that's where we learn it. Yeah. I mean, I normally, you know, do contemplation of feeling only with pain. What is pain? Where is pain? Yeah. Is it anicca? Is it changing? And you know, you contemplate it, you know, while it is there. Yeah? Pain is a nice thing, you know, because it stays very long. Yeah? Anger, you know, comes up and then disappears very quickly. That's why we use pain, you know, as our sharpening stone. Yeah? So what is it? Yeah? And then we contemplate, where is it? Is it in the bone? Is it in the skin? Is it, you know, where is it? Yeah. Because we feel it in our knee. Huh? And then we get up and it's gone. There's pain, you know, I mean, if somebody stabs you with a knife, you know, the pain, no matter if you sleep, if you lie down, you know, if you stand, you know, you feel the pain. So where is this pain coming from? It tells us, you know, I mean, you sit too long, you sit, you know, in an uncomfortable situation, yeah, position. That's why there is pain, yeah. When you go traveling on an airplane, you sit in very squeezed in, you know, but you don't feel pain. Huh? What? 11 hours, you know, try to meditate for 11 hours, yeah? Or 10 hours, yeah? I know, no matter where you fly, yeah? You can't cope with the pain, yeah? But in an airplane, you don't mind, yeah? So what is pain, you know? Where is it, yeah? I mean, contemplate it, you know, stick with it, yeah? And if you can stick with it, yeah? And find out, you know, I mean, you have bones since you were born, you know. If they are in pain, you know, I mean, you should be always in pain. Yeah? If it is in the muscles, you should be always, yeah. I mean, contemplate it, find it out where the pain is. And if you go, if you slowly come, yeah, to the truth of the pain, it disappears. That's what happens to most people, you know, I mean, when you contemplate a little bit and the pain disappears. If you sit longer, then the pain stays on, you know, you can contemplate. And then it is, first it was in the left knee, then it jumps to the right knee. In the left knee, there's no more pain, yeah? I mean, that's what you do while you contemplate pain. Yeah? I mean, it just jumps to another point. How can pain, you know, that is really bodily pain, jump? Yeah? Okay, so you follow it, yeah? Until it shows you where it's actually coming from. So you follow it up, yeah? I mean, contemplation of pain is not easy, yeah? But this kind of contemplation you can do. Until it shows you it comes from the heart. Yeah? I mean, everybody assumes it, you know, but we don't know it. Yeah? Assumptions are not known. Yes? You can assume things, but it's still we don't know. So we have to follow it until it shows where this actually originates from. And then we are rid of most of the fear of it. But then are coming 3 stages of pain, 3 stages of death. Yeah? That comes later. I mean, most of the people don't need to go through. Not yet. Once you can deal with pain, I mean, there's no problem dealing with greed or anger. You just look at it the same way, you know. I mean, pain is the same thing, you know. If you cannot accept it, the pain becomes stronger, you know. It becomes unbearable. If you accept it, you know, if you feel it, or breathe it in with our whole body, that's the first thing. And then you start asking the question. Okay? No more questions, huh?
Can dislike something that will lead to anger?
Yes, of course. Dislike, you know, is a form of anger. Yeah? Like is a form of greed. Yeah? I mean, just like dukkha, you know, I mean, suffering is the topmost of it, yeah? But you know, I mean, restlessness, boredom, yeah, this ease, discomfort, you know, discontent. I mean, all the small forms of dukkha. So dislike is a form of anger. If it becomes stronger, then it turns into anger. If it becomes so strong that we can't deal with it, we know we have to shoot that person or we have to kill it. It becomes, can become that strong.
Let's say you dislike people coming late,
yeah,
and then when you feel that,
yeah,
then to overcome that, but you still want to be firm that they don't come late often. So you smile at them and talk about, that will at least you convey the message, and also.
I mean, if you do it in a nice way, yes. But the first thing I would get rid of your own coming late.
Get rid of your own coming late.
Because whatever you see and dislike in other people is what is within yourself.
It's the
so you yes. I mean, no, other people are just a mirror of ourselves. Yeah? If you look in the mirror, I mean, who do you see? Yourself, yeah? If you look at other people, I mean, the citta projects everything out. Yeah? You know our slide projector? Yeah? I mean, whatever is in the citta is projected outside here, on the whiteboard, yeah? If somebody stands in front of the whiteboard, you don't see, because of all the colors of your slide. You can't really make out, yeah? But you see very clearly the colors of your own slide. So whatever you see in the other person is what is within you. That's a very tough trait. But if you can see that, you know, if you can understand and remind yourself, yeah, whatever makes you angry about other people is something that you have within yourself. You don't like to hear that. If we overcome it, we have met up with this person, and then we can say something. If it is inappropriate, you know, for instance, you know, I do say something, yeah, if people come late, yeah, it's inappropriate, yeah, it shows a disrespect, but I don't get angry at them.
So you can manage it with a smile.
Yeah, but that is open. That is painting the rust over, you know.
But as you carry on the message,
yeah,
you carry the message,
yeah,
so that.
But you know, within the message is your dislike.
You don't do that, if you keep quiet, then more and more people will be late, and you will be more.
I mean, you have to. You
the
have
problem.
To. Yeah, yeah. First get rid of your own, you know, coming late, you know.
Yeah, why don't you forgive yourself for...
Yeah, I mean, first...
Once a while for coming late, because that is the reason. The same thing, others may have also the same...
Yes. I mean, yes. You have to,
the
you know...
For.
I mean, you ask me now, yeah, I mean, it is very respectless for Dhamma, yeah? I mean, I said, you know, I mean, coming late, yeah, shows no respect for the Dhamma. I mean, if they come in, you know, and they are very quiet, you know, I don't mind, yeah? If they sneak in or if they try to be very quiet. But if they come in like here I am, you know, I mean, then I say something, yeah? And if then, you know, just like the last time, somebody takes out his phone and plays around, then I can really... Because if, you know, these persons don't need to come in. Yeah? Other people are here who want to listen to. They are just disturbed the same way. You know? I mean, when somebody opens the door, you know, people tend to look, you know, who's come. So they are disturbed in the Dhamma and listening to the Dhamma, and that's why I say it. Yeah?
So,
I'm not angry with these people, you know, I just don't see it fit. Yeah? Doesn't fit the situation.
You will need to voice it out in a nice manner so that,
yeah,
he doesn't hear it.
I mean, if I, yeah. I mean, of course I voice it out in a nice manner because I don't feel anger towards these people.
So same thing, if people, certain people hurt your feeling, if you keep quiet, that means you are acknowledging what they are.
Yeah.
So if you were to watch it out in a nice manner, I think at least the other person get the message that you don't.
Yeah, but you have to be very careful. Yeah. Normally, if you still are angry or if you still are hurt, that kind of hurt goes out in the nice message as an understream. Yeah, and they will feel. So if I say something to him because he's late, and he feels, that I'm really angry about him, he will feel it. Yeah? And if you are hurt, and even if you try to relate it, in a very nice method, the other person, they don't really listen to what is said. Yeah? We communicate heart by heart. Yeah? So the message is relayed. And if he feels that he's hurt, and if he likes to torture other people, then he even, goes at you more and more and more. Yeah? If you have overcome the hurt, if you cannot be hurt, of course then, you can ask him the question, what are you doing? Okay, understood? Whatever we overcome, yeah? We can have metta for this person. And this metta then goes out in our message. Even if the message is stern, the compassion for it is within the message. And normally people get it.
I follow on a question. Sorry to
interrupt. Yeah, just much more. Yeah, if you're a father, and you have a kid that is playing and now playing ball, and the ball is running towards the street, and you as a father see that there are cars are coming, So you pat, you grab, your child by the neck, and say stop, This child, you think you are very, you're very rude, You don't allow it to do what you want. But you as father see the danger that is coming. So who has the compassion? It's because out of compassion you grab the child and hold it so it doesn't run into the danger. But we think, only people who follow our wishes, are nice people. And everybody, who tells us, you shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that is a bad person. But a wise person sees the dangers that lie ahead, just like a father that sees the danger that a kid or a child cannot see. Yeah. So he's stern, I said, no, don't run. And after the danger is gone, okay, go play around. But the child doesn't think the same way. Because he wants to play, he wants to run after that ball. You understand? Compassion is very different from what we think. A very compassionate teacher is actually somebody who warns us of all the dangers that are lying ahead of us. Yeah? We don't like to hear that, that's why we think, a teacher must always say something, that is nice, that is soothing. Yeah? Yeah, be good boys, be good girls, give me some, give me some donations and you all will go to heaven, And when you die, you all go to heaven and then think, what kind of teacher was that? But if a teacher says, don't do this, don't do this, not in order to go to hell, and you actually follow him, and then you might go up, to heaven. Yeah? The Lord Buddha said something, about it, If you have a teacher that is nice, to you, that always, comports your wishes, and your practice is not going anywhere. You should leave that teacher. And if a teacher is very stern, and very tough, and even kicks you out, you should crawl back on all four to go back to that teacher, because that's where you can learn. So, now your question.
When coming out from samadhi, the mind is clear. Sometimes got this sensation of external sounds.
Sounds,
yeah, pleasant sounds. Yeah. Or could be presence of something externally close to the body.
Yeah.
So that to me could be a distraction for doing contemplation, but how to deal with it? Just cannot ignore it right away because it's so obvious. Hear and feel and can't really contemplate the body at that point when it happens outside.
What you want actually, you know, if you want to contemplate the body, you feel that there are external forces that disturb you?
Yeah, when out of somebody about to start to investigate the body and got sounds, pleasant one.
Yeah, I mean, don't think they are external.
It could be internal.
Yes.
Yes.
And they are internal, you know. You know, the Kilesas like to play tricks with us, you know. I mean, a lot of people, you know, say, you know, I mean, that couldn't be me. This must be external influences. In most cases, you know, most beings, you know, don't bother to influence. It is mostly, you know, I mean, just like we, you know, we place our disgust, you know, for somebody coming late, you know, or not behaving in a proper way. I mean, our own feelings, you know, we place outside, and then we think this person is wrong. Okay? So now what you do is you place these things, you know, these sounds outside that are actually internal, yeah? And make you, you know, think, you know, I couldn't contemplate. Yeah? Just start, contemplate, you know, start with these obvious things, you know, I mean, just take your hair off the head, you know, or start with birth, you know, with old age, you know, and death, yeah? Start with the easy things, you know, and then slowly, you know, don't start, you know, with taking off your skin, you know, that's too fast, yeah? You go slowly, you know, and then see what is happening. And there are cases, you know, where there are really external things, but they're not going to prevent us from doing contemplation.
Just that the mind is, like, curious.
The mind is curious about these external things,
yeah?
But you know, it's just like this light projector, you know, we always think, yeah, about this external projection, yeah? We're never interested, you know, what is actually in the projector, what is in our chitta. The chitta projects it outside, and that's where we see it. Yeah? As long as it is inside, we don't see it, not yet, yeah? Only if our sati is strong enough, then we see it inside. Okay? Do it slowly, yeah? Start with very easy things, yeah? And then slowly go, you know, to the more harsh things. So, any more questions? More? You all happy? You all love your biological robot? I mean, I sometimes wonder, you know, people, you know, if their car, you know, after 20 years their car breaks down, you know, are they going, you know, to invite all family, you know, to give it a nice burial? No, we put it to the scrapyard and buy a new one. So why do all these things, you know, for this body, you know, it's just a piece of garbage, yeah, that has, you know, lost all its value. I mean, now we need to cremate it, you know, everybody needs to cry about it. But the person, you know, who sat in this body, you know, has already left, looking for another body. I mean, isn't it? Just wishing well, you know, have a nice journey, you know. wherever he goes. And give him, you know, if it are our relative, give him the merit, you know. Pass him on the merit so that he has something, you know, to take with him, you know, on his long journey. No more questions?
If a non-relative can merits be making for the deceased?
What?
If the person who passed away want to do merits, is it has to be coming from a relative?
Yeah.
How about from friends? Can the person?
I mean that. I mean yes, yes. Even as a friend, you can make merit, but then you should make the merit in his name. I mean, no. As a relative, you can pass on merit to him.
Yeah.
But for him, you know, you can. I mean, even the relative, even the brothers, you know, the children have to do merit for him in his name.
Yeah.
So they go, you know, and go to a temple, you know, and do it in his name. I mean, my brother or my brother or my father wants to, you know, make this donation of robes or, you know, giving a kuti or whatever it is, or food, yeah. Then this merit is passed on to this person. You can share the merit of your own deeds with this person so that that's also.
I mean about merit sharing.
Yeah.
Will it really work? I mean, will the recipient of your sharing really receive the merit? Because the merit is done by you, and then you are sharing it.
Uh-huh.
Does it mean that it's not a piece of cake, no?
No. Well, I mean, if you work hard and earn money, can you share it with anybody you like?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you just give it to him.
That person doesn't work for it.
Yes.
But you will share it. If he doesn't know, how do that recipient must be able to appreciate, right? Only then, only you will receive it. If he doesn't, let's say.
I mean, about merit, there's one thing, you know, I mean, you can give money to any person, yeah? But there are some people who will not, you know, who will not accept the money that you give them. And it is similar with merit, yeah? If you have any kind of connection, yeah? Be it good connection or bad connection to this person, you can share the merit. And the amount of the connection you had to it, that is the amount of merit he can take. And yet, I mean, it is, you know, it is much better than any kind of bad, because nothing gets lost. You take, you know, you give the merit to this person. That person at the moment cannot go to the bank, but the bank will keep the merit the moment that he can go to the bank. It's just like a Western Union transfer. You know, you transfer money, and the moment that person comes and goes to Western Union or, you know, to Rispin, then it can take off the money. I mean, beings that I have normally cannot take part in the merit. Yeah? The moment they come up in the higher ghost realms, then they can take that merit. They can go to the bank and receive that merit. But as long as they're in hell, or in the animal realm, or in any other lower realm, they cannot receive that merit, except for the ghost realm, for the higher ghost realms, yeah? That are close to the human realm. Then they can start receiving the merit. Yeah? In the heavenly realm, they can receive it any time. So, and this bank never forgets anything, you know. You put it for this person, and that bank, you know, keeps it for that person. Whenever that person is ready to receive it, it gets it. There's nothing lost.
I mean, ready to receive, because at the, let's say, for disability believer, it's not. He is a non-Buddhist citizen. Buddhist.
Doesn't matter.
Then you have done something. Let's say you donate something,
yeah,
your time and your money or whatever, to the sangha, okay, or even to the Buddha, and then you share the merit to that person who doesn't believe in all this. What
that's
is
right.
All,
but the moment he is dead, he will believe it. I mean, at the moment he doesn't believe it. Yeah. My parents didn't believe it until they were dead, you know, then they loved it. They really enjoyed it. So I mean, don't worry about it. It's still up there for him, yeah. And we don't even receive it. Yeah? But if he is a non-believer as a human being, you know, I mean, he certainly will believe and he will be very happy, you know, the moment he's dead. Because then he knows it was.
I think to most people, at the moment of death, they were accepting there is a...
Of course.
Because of fear of death.
And when they
because
left,
they don't know where they will be going.
Yes.
So they fear. So if they say, you mention that it's something good, they will just accept it.
But after death, yeah, once they left the body, you know, they will be really happy. Because then they know the value of it. I mean, they've done most of the people, you know, I mean, Western people don't believe in it, you know, I mean, so they don't do a lot of good merit, yeah? And then they come out, you know, after death, you know, and they need merit, you know, to travel, you know, just like we need, you know, when you go on a travel, you need money, you know, you need food, you know, I mean, and then they don't have it, yeah? So they can't travel, so they will, you know, go down. And so, and if, you know, their children or relatives give them a lot of merit, then they can travel to other realms, yeah? It's nice, isn't it? In the moment, you know, they are really dead in the dead realm, you know, and in the other realm, and then they can receive it and they can see the value of it. No matter if they believe it now or not. Most people just say, wait, you know, wait until you're dead, then you will see it, yeah? But then it's too late.
So, what about the Chinese culture, burning?
Yeah, I mean burning paper, you know, I mean, what is the merit of burning paper, yeah?
Paper money, I mean. So,
if you burn money, what is the use of this burned money? It's just paper, yeah?
Let's say they have a car and then they believe and then they burn
money. That's what they believe, you know. Yeah. But I mean, the people who are at the other side, receiving side, you know, they see only the smoke.
Yes, because we don't, but for their school of thought, do they
I mean, if you know, if in the process of burning all these papers and things like the good wishes, you know, I mean, it's a bit of merit, but you know, if they do good deeds, you know, and share the merit of these good deeds with these people, of course they will receive it, whatever is, you know, good merit, you cannot share your bad karma with that. That's not possible. But all the good deeds, you know, if you share it with them, you know, and if you express it, and probably that's how it started, yeah? I mean, the people, you know, probably 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, you know, I mean, had these good wishes, you know, and had this heartfelt thing, you know, made me be happy and think, and then write it on paper and then they burned it so that, yeah, I mean, it's probably how it started, and now it becomes just a ceremony of useless things. Yeah?
Actually, when you perform merits, actually you have good karma in it. So
I mean, also you have
good karma. You are more or less sharing your good karma in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
so
it's going.
You can share bad karma. Can you share the good karma?
Of course, you can share your good karma.
But you cannot share your bad karma.
No. Nobody accepts that.
They won't know.
No.
They're so used to it.
I mean, you go and ask, you know, go and ask your friend, you know, if he shares the debt of, you know, of $1 million, yeah? He said, no. But if you have, you know, if you have some, you know, if you have $1 million and want to share with me, I take that.
So you mean it's about sharing good karma?
Yeah. Sharing good karma, yeah. I mean, marriage is...
The recipient must be able to appreciate it.
I mean, yes, of course, yes. And, I mean, that's why I said, yeah. Recipients who are at the moment in hell, or in a very low realm, they are not appreciative. The moment they come to a realm where they can appreciate, that's where they can receive.
Despite the four Brahma Vihara,
mudita,
I mean sympathetic joy.
Yeah.
So if somebody, let's say, releases firecrackers, everybody enjoying it, and then you say, "Aiyah, he's trying to show off." It's not very.
No, if he wants to show off, you know, that's his problem.
Yeah, I mean, if you mention that, this is enjoyable, he's really doing. That means he more or less like sharing merits.
But it's not sharing really merits, it is, you know, having, you know, making other people joyful, that is good karma.
Yeah, good karma. Mm-hmm. Joyful.
Yeah. I mean, if you make other people happy, that is good karma.
Yeah.
If you help other people, it's good karma. Yeah. If you raise a daughter or a son, it's good karma. What?
Depend on motivation. The person doing is his motivation.
Intention is the idea. I mean, if you want to show off, it's not good karma.
I mean,
if you want to.
Those who see it, I mean, they are jealous, they will say it's.
They are envious, right. Just like I said.
So the person who let's say, somebody has shared the good memories, and the recipient are not ready to serve, in fact, was quite.
No. That's how it works. That's not how it works,
It's not like
that. I mean, if you share your good merits, you know, most of the time, you know, I mean, it only comes after your life is ended. Yeah. I mean, after death. And then they appreciate it.
Let's say I take a piece of cake.
Okay? Yeah, I mean,
intention, and then I present to somebody.
Yeah.
And the person does not appreciate it because he doesn't like it to eat cake.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, that is his problem. Yeah. I mean, there's a famous.
So how do I share the merit? Will he receive the
merit? I mean, if he doesn't appreciate it, you know, I mean, if your intention is of doing good, you know, and that is your karma. If the other person appreciates it or not, you know, that's his karma. Yeah. I mean, one time, you know, somebody who. With a lot of anger, came to see the Lord Buddha and was trying to shout at him. Yeah. Then the Lord Buddha just asked this person, if you give somebody a present, and this present, you know, this person doesn't accept the present, whose present is it? Yes. So, I mean, if you are angry and you let it out on another person, but this person doesn't accept it, you know, it's only your anger. If you accept that present, you know, this anger is both, If you react on the anger of another person, that anger is, you know, both of the
people.
But it's the same thing,
The anger is not a wholesome thing, unwholesome. What
I mean is,
I bake the cake with all my intention.
Yeah.
To give somebody whom I think you're going to.
If he appreciates it or not. I mean, if he takes it. If he doesn't take it.
Yeah. He doesn't take yours?
If he doesn't take it, then you couldn't make good karma.
At that moment, he's full. But
If he takes it, then you have done your good karma. If he doesn't take it.
You won't make it. You haven't done it.
Then you give it to another person. Yeah.
Let's say if he's rueful or he may not like.
Yeah, I mean that is his thing. If he takes it, if he accepts it, then you have fulfilled your good karma. If he doesn't accept it, then give it to another person. That's all what you can do. His reaction, I mean, if he takes it, and then later says, what kind of cake is this person's bake, and throws it in, the trash can, I mean, that is his karma. You've done your good karma, He takes it, he accepts it, And that's it. For you, the story ends, Whatever he does with it, it's his karma. Okay? Don't worry too much about it, just do good karma. people appreciate it, you know, or not, you know, I mean, that's their business. If people accept it or not, that's their business. I mean, your intention, I mean, you pray three times good karma. Yeah? The intention to do something good, you know, is already good karma. Yeah? And to do it, you know, is already good karma, you know, and to give it to somebody is good karma, and then to receive it is good karma. Yeah? But the same thing is, you know, with unwholesome karma. The intention to create, you know, trouble, you know, in some family or whatever, and it's bad karma, you know, then actually do it is bad karma, and then the bad karma comes to back to you, it's bad karma. So you receive it three times, so be careful of what you do, yeah?
What I mean is, let's say in certain things are like you like to teach somebody the right.
Oh, don't teach somebody. Don't try to teach anybody.
So if he doesn't receive it,
yeah.
Then you will get.
I mean, what can you actually do? Tell me, what can you teach? Yeah. What do you know?
Certain, like you say about coming late.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, let's say, at one time I have this experience. So whether is it good to what you call impart this? I was at the queue, going to depart of whatever. So at that time, this budget airline, Air Asia, it doesn't have free seating.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody will be rushing to the hot seat now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So there was three youngsters who passed by, cut the queue, and I was just about 10 feet away. I moved up to it, and then say that, hey, that's not right. See? Then one of them pulled back, challenged me back. If you don't like it, you swallow it. You swallow it. I mean the Cantonese way of saying it.
That's good, that's
then
very good.
I just passed by him, overtook him. I was also rushing it for the hot seat. Okay? But then it's fair competition. We queue. Yeah. I queue. Then with my wife behind me. And then when I approach it, then I say that it's not right. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's not right, man. It's, in Cantonese it's called ngam lah. Okay? Then he challenged me back, no? You don't like it, you have to swallow it. Actually, it's not my authority to teach it. But then after that, I asked him, there is express boarding. At that time, it's only 20 ringgit to pay for the express boarding.
Yeah, but
instead of cutting queue,
but
so
then you got angry, you know? I mean, you got angry.
I was not angry. I was very calm.
Yeah, you might be calm.
I
but
was
you
very
know.
Calm to say that. And then after that, when I walk up to the plane, I saw that the friend is already there. So I just sat in front of the person, in front of the front row seat. Then the friend, whom I reprimand, he challenged me back, came and sat with the friend. And then when meal time comes, when the steward served me my food, I bought a pack of nasi lemak, rice. So I said, yeah, I eat it. Then he gave me a mineral water bottle. But before that, I said, oh, I didn't order this. Then the friend behind me, whom I remember, oh, I bought it for you. I'm very sorry. So the outcome is so nice.
Yeah.
But before that, I did some meta sharing. Because at that time I wasn't very good. So I shared meta, may you be well and happy, all this. And it really works. So if it has come to a blows, and I because he's quite tall, taller than me,
Yeah, metta can, you know, I mean, if you really have metta, it can change.
So, do you think that, I mean, I'm silly, you know?
I mean, I would say silly, but I think silly, yes.
When I relate this, everybody was saying, oh, you.
I mean, sometimes it's okay to say
you mind my own business.
I mean, in most cases, you mind your own business.
Yeah, but the thing is,
if something annoys you about these three youngsters, you know, skipping in front of you. And this annoyance, you know, even
I'm,
if you're
an old man, no? Yeah.
See? You will remember about your youth, you know?
And
you could do the same things, you know, and it annoys you now that other people are doing.
Luckily, the outcome is
I mean, yes. The outcome seems to be okay, but the intention was not pure.
Yeah? My intention?
Yeah, in the beginning when you said something. That is the problem. Yeah?
What,
the intention is pure, you know, if you're not annoyed about this...
It's not annoyed. I find that it's just... I'm not...
Yes. I mean, I'm certain that there was some sort, you know. I mean, whatever you call it, be it annoying, you know, be it unpleasant, you know, something, you know, has triggered this. Yeah?
I don't know.
I mean, that's why we have to have something. Yeah?
But I was able to.
I mean, yeah.
If I
in general,
I wouldn't have if the annoyance may not be. Is under control.
Yeah.
I was able to send metta to you know.
Later on.
Yeah.
But normally, just people don't like to be taught.
Yeah.
I don't go out and teach people. Yeah. I mean, if people come, you know, then I teach. If people don't come, I don't teach.
But it is
very important. If people are not open, they will not listen, yeah? And actually what you can do is just reverse, yeah? I mean, if you teach somebody that doesn't want to listen, I mean, you will do bad things to him, yeah? Because he will close off, yeah? The Lord Buddha only accepted people who were open, yeah? So, when they came and see him and asked him questions, then he answered, yeah? But it didn't, normally, in most cases, it didn't go to the people and just tell them, you know, I might be good, you know, do this, do that. And that is the same thing for Buddhist monks, you know, normally for Buddhist monks, yeah. I mean, they only teach, you know, when people come and see them.
You see, in Asian culture, is, you know, the student will stick with the master.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the Western...
Yeah, and that's why the Western culture is wrong. It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah. That's called preaching. It's not called teaching. Yeah? You preach something to somebody who doesn't want to listen. Yeah? And the preachers are normally the people who never listen to their own teaching. Yeah? So that's why the Asian culture is teaching, you know, the student looks for the teacher, yeah? And then, you know, if a student looks for a teacher, then he's willing to listen to what the teacher said. And if he doesn't like to listen anymore, he leaves that teacher, you know, and finds another teacher. That's a proper way, yeah? But, you know, just to go on, you know, and do a mass conversion, you know, do a mass preaching, people, you know, I mean, people can be adversely affected, yeah? I don't go out, you know, and teach people, yeah? If they don't invite me or if they don't come. Okay? Any other questions? Also, quiet. Huh? So, start your practice, yeah? I'm in practice. First, get your mind calm. Once the mind is calm and stay put with an object, then you can start contemplation. This kind of reflection, you should do the daily reflection like I said before. Yeah? What did I do today? What happened? Yeah? And then, you know, I mean, you can look at this situation, and when you do the reflection, you probably see, oh, there was aversion. If you don't do reflection, you just assume there was no aversion. Yeah? I mean, reflection is that that makes us human. So remember, you know, what happened today? What did I say? How did I react? Yeah? What was going on? Yeah? Not to judge. Not to say it was good or bad. Just to see. Just like a film, you may see, you know. Sometimes an eye you take, yeah? I mean, just as if you have a video camera, yeah, that watches you 24 hours, yeah? And then you just look at, don't want to see it. Yeah? Most people don't want to see what they did, yeah, and how, what they said, yeah? That's why we don't like to do reflection, yeah? We only want to see the nice things, eh? Oh yeah, this, you know, this moment here, you know, I helped an old lady over the street, you know, I gave this to this person. We don't want to see, you know, how we said bad words to our neighbor, yeah? That's why we don't like reflection. Okay, for today it's enough, yeah?